It's Dr. Lisa, and it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. Hey, how you doing? Thanks for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, the absolute best radio station on the planet. I've listened to all of them, and I'm telling you, this is absolutely the best. So let's hang out. What do you say? This is a very, very, very major, major week in Brooklyn. Okay, folks, I don't know if you, I mean, there's a, I know the news is really distracting these days, but you may not have heard, I don't know if you have, but it's the Northside Festival, which is like this really huge, actually pretty important, I'm going to say maybe not the most important music festival in the world, but it's very, very like high profile, and it's just this amazing opportunity to see all these bands and stuff like that. And actually, our own station, Radio Free Brooklyn, we're doing something really, really awesome this year. I'm really proud of us because they have a lot of rock bands and stuff like that. And we're doing a complete hip-hop show. And it's tonight, folks, at the Well. So you got to come. It's going to be really good. And it's also not like the typical Northside show. We're really like... which I'm really proud of, you know. Shout out to Matt, our dude. Anyway, so it's at the Well, which is 272 Mezerol Street in Brooklyn. It's $10 at the door, $8 in advance, and this is the largest independent music festival, and we are featuring our local hip hop artist. Michael Amin, Wisdom Natural, TK the Architect, and Junkrat. So come on and fucking show up. Get out of your basement. Let's have some fun. So I have this really special guest on today. I'm going to hope that I pronounce her name properly. I'm a little nervous about it. So Renat. Okay, will you say it, Renat?
Yeah, it's Renat Chizer.
Renat Chizer, there. And she's a fabulously interesting woman who is an entrepreneur and began like a really, she's like a right brain, left brain person who's made a lot of shit happen. But talking to her before we got started, I also realized that she has anxiety and depression, and she's been in therapy, which if you've met her, she presents in almost an intimidating way. Can I say how old you are?
Yeah, sure.
So I can. She's only, to me, she's young, 37. And
I'm actually 39.
I read an old bio. Look at me. I did my research, but I read an old bio. She's 39, and she's just incredibly brilliant and accomplished and self-possessed. So, but then there's also... She's a fully three-dimensional person. So we're going to find out a lot about her, and I think she's a good person for all of us to learn from. She's also a very generous person who is involved in a big company that she started called, I wrote this down. See, I'm getting nervous that I'm going to forget. That's the problem. But it's, of course, Global. That's what she started, which is an amazing company that deals with people, entrepreneurs, innovation, and I'm going to let her explain it because it's really, it's a very original company and it's doing really well. So, but before we do that, let's go back to Northside Festival. That was a teaser, okay? Northside Festival, because there's also a band that I personally want to help promote called No Ice, and they're a big part of Northside Festival, and they're going to be playing Friday and Saturday night, and I wanted you to know about that. I'm going to play one of their songs, but before I do, I just want to let you know that they're going to be playing Friday. That's tomorrow at a show at Main Drag Music. They're playing with Shell Shag, No Ice. Well, they're No Ice. That's the band, No Ice, Prima. They're playing at 9:15. Did I screw that up? I'm like on my case today. I'm really like, I don't know what, like I'm not, I got to get my confidence back. That's my problem right now. I'm doing fine, right? Am I doing okay or
you're
not?
Amazing.
Give me a shout out.
Lisa, you're amazing.
Yeah, okay, good. I needed that. Thank you. I feel much better now. No Ice, 9:15 tomorrow night, main drag music. And then on Saturday night, they're going to be at the Gutter, which is at 200 North 14th Street. And that show starts at 8, and they're going to be playing with a horse, then No Ice, Secret Nudist Friends, The Regrets, and Straw Pipes. So no further ado, I'm going to play you a hit of theirs called The Cemetery. So I'll see you on the other side. Enjoy. It's going to be loud, so make sure you don't have your... So that's No Ice. Pretty good.
Taking me into her heart. Not just, and this is not a publicity thing for her. Kim told me when she left that White House meeting that no matter how this.
Whoa. Okay. That was like probably a tech fuck up, I think, on my part. Because, anyway, whatever. So anyway, That was No Ice, great band, part of Northside. They're going to be playing Friday night at Drag Whatever Music, and then Saturday night at the Gutter. Look it up on the Northside Festival website and show up. Okay, it's a great band. So okay, back to my guest, Renat. So we were chatting a little bit just right before we went live, and the thing about Renat that's really interesting is, what an accomplished woman she is. And then we were also talking, I was reading this article she wrote in Medium about how she felt about her sister getting married and she was still single. And we were talking about that. We think it's kind of interesting that somebody, and she's also gorgeous and like everything, you know, talented, beautiful, and kind, all that shit. And then also like single, which I think is actually, you know, so I wonder, you know, it happens a lot. I wonder, it's a lot of times I think men are intimidated by women like this, but anyway, she agreed. We think it would be really interesting to explore this. Mm-hmm. But before we really get down that road, why don't you just, Renat, just really quickly, because I really want to get into this, just tell us a little bit about your company, Of Course Global, okay?
Yeah, definitely. So Of Course Global is a design and strategy studio that helps businesses develop their strategies around social good and sustainability. So basically, it's all about how do you create products that actually do good for the business, but also for the environment, for underserved communities. And our premise and our vision behind this is really to change the way that companies operate from a siloed place to a place that is part of a larger ecosystem that is caring for the intended but also the unintended mm-hmm. consequences of whatever it creates.
And you have 2 degrees. So you're right brain, left brain. This is so impressive. What's your degrees again?
My undergrad was in biotechnology engineering. And
come on, really? And then your master's degree is in what?
In fine arts. It's a master called Design for Social Innovation. So basically mm-hmm. how to use different design disciplines to develop and create new human systems that are healthier.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? Honestly, we could talk about this all day, but you should really go to the website. It's called Of Course Global, and just look at some of the case studies that Renat's company has done. Like it's not like one person. This is a real company, folks, with you, a lot of people you work with and some really big clients and stuff like that. So this is like the real deal. And you've been doing this since 2013?
16. So it's 2 years. Yeah.
2 years since you graduated.
Yeah.
So she's an impressive woman. I don't know. I'm that's all. Take my word for it. Look it up. Go to my Facebook page. You'll see all this stuff that she's done. So let's talk about that. So how is it? So you don't have a boyfriend currently, or do you? What's your deal? What's your deal right now?
My current situation. No, I do not have a boyfriend right now. Yeah.
Okay. So are you dating anybody or?
I don't know. I'm such not a good dater. I think I there's these people that are like constantly on 3 dates every week. And for me, this is something that's so tiring. I actually went out on a date last Friday. And for me, that was a huge accomplishment.
A first date?
A first date, yeah.
Oh, is he getting a second date? No.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Is that all right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, well, don't tell him, okay? We don't know no names. I'm sure he's a lovely guy.
He is.
He's a very busy woman, you know, whatever. So let's hear about so, you know, we always want to know if there's an intimacy issue or what else is going on. So what's your dating history?
Yeah. So I think through my 20s, I've always constantly been in really long-term monogamous relationships. And I think it was on my 31st birthday that I was like, I can't do this anymore. I have to at least know a little bit more about who I am before I commit. And
so did you have one boyfriend in your 20s?
No, there were three, like, big chunk boyfriends. So,
and what was the what was the longest relationship that you had?
The longest one was 4 years.
Oh,
yeah,
that's reasonable. Was that was that the last one?
No, that was the one before last. So we lived together. We shared a house.
There you go.
Yeah,
you had a real and you're from Israel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And was that, when did you move here?
I moved here 4 years ago. So I moved here to do my
master's degree. Yeah. So was that in Israel? Have you had a boyfriend? Have you had a boyfriend in America? No, because Americans, I wouldn't date an American if I was from Israel either. Oh, I'm going to get letters. But no, but I mean, come on. Our world is being run by Trump now. Come on. No, but okay. I'm making fun of you, American. I'm just making fun. So have you had a boyfriend in America?
Yeah, no, I have not. I mean, I've dated various men. And somehow I think for the past 4.5 years, I've had this one continuous lover in Israel that I've been seeing until very recently, very, very recently.
So you kind of, can I say this? Can we call it a long-distance relationship?
No.
So a friends with benefits, but like half a world away? Come on, not really. Is that what, you define it, seriously. Oh, you tell me, what was that relationship and when did it end?
Oh. I don't even know to say what it was. I don't think I have the vocabulary for it.
In English.
In English or in Hebrew. There is probably like body language for it, but not verbal language for it.
So the sex was good. Did you talk every day? What was your contact
no,
like?
No.
Okay, so was your contact once a month? How often did you go to Israel? Like, what was your, let's just deal with facts. So what was the amount of contact with him?
It really varied, but I think in the beginning it wasn't so much. We were, I think, dating for around 1 or 2 months, and then it broke off, and then I moved to New York and I was exploring a bunch of different stuff and a new world, of course. And then somewhere around a year and a half ago, we kind of got closer and we were just
Like as far as like, so you're not living in the same country. So mm-hmm. Are we talking about texts, phone calls?
Yeah.
Like how often did you have contact with him? Was it once a week? Do you not want to talk about this? Because you don't have to.
We can talk about it.
She's looking shy. She's being really like generous, like I said. But, you know, I would be shy. I understand. So, yeah. But she's willing to go there, folks. That's what I'm saying. Listen up. So,
I think it was really, for me to define, like, there's no real way to define what it was, because we were both also seeing other people, and it was never something that, okay, we're exclusive to each other. But I think with time, we realized how deeply important we are to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Until very recently, where I think he was such a great partner to go through a journey of reaching a level where I can say that I want an intimate relationship. So I think about a year and a half ago, maybe that was the turning point. I was doing some self-development course, and I was asked to interview the man I'm seeing about how I am in intimate relationships.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I actually interviewed him.
That's so awesome.
And he said something that I never expected. He said that I'm very closed off, and that I don't open up, and that this is something that bothers him, that he doesn't like that about me. And for me, I'm always, I don't know, at least with men, like, you know, super cool, everything's great, never mm-hmm. get too, yeah.
You don't show vulnerability.
Zero. But I never actually knew that. I thought that that's the way to be, you know. But when he said that, I was like, wow, fuck, I really am shutting myself down and shying away from really exposing who I am. And I think it also is a big part of that is that dichotomy, is that a big part of me is this independent woman running a business, mm-hmm. doing all this crazy shit, traveling the world, you know, teaching different universities, doing all these things mm-hmm. that are a huge part of me. And then the other mm-hmm. side of me is just this really tiny little vulnerable girl that doesn't know how to deal with intimacy. Mm-hmm. And that dichotomy is not even clear to me, but let alone the people that I date, for sure. That's very confusing. So when he said that, that was like a moment where I was like, wow, okay.
That's really good information. And don't you think? That's amazing.
Yeah, and it was very...
good for him. I mean, good for both of you. That's really hard. That's a big deal. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so I think that was kind of a turning point. And I was, okay, I'm going to give it a shot of what does it even mean to being more open and more vulnerable? And so I think he was such a beautiful partner to go down this road with, of exploration.
So how did you feel? Were you surprised? Were you sad? Were you disappointed? Was that shock? Was it like, oh my God, I didn't know I was like that? Or was it like, oh, he's right?
I think it was both. I think it was like, oh my,
you feel, yeah.
And then I was like, wow, he's so right.
So that was a big insight.
I never let anyone in.
So when did you break up? You broke up with him?
I mean, I don't know. Breaking up means that there's a relationship to break up, but yeah. I think I was...
Is he not in your life anymore? Or how did that revelation affect your relationship with him? Yes. Did it change your relationship?
Oh, wow. Many questions. So, yeah. So, it definitely changed our relationship very gradually and very, very subtly. That's, I think, mm-hmm. something that I really loved about our relationship. It was very gradual and subtle until a few months ago where I realized that, well, you know, we're getting really close and I mean, at least emotionally and, you know, and not physically. I mean, we're in different countries. So, and I think that was a big revolution for me to realize that I've come to a point where I now want something deeper and I want something, you know, with more width and with more depth.
So did you feel like it was getting in the way of you having a real relationship? And that's why you ended because of that?
Yeah.
I think that's really, I'm just going to say, because I have no formal training. I'm going to say, I think that's really, really smart though and very brave and I applaud that.
I think it's one of the most painful things that I did. So, I mean, we did. It's not me. It's, it was definitely even more from him than from me.
That's really showing up for yourself in a major, major way. Good for you. See, guys, I told you to be, this is great. This is what it takes.
So just fast forward. So I think after I realized that, I confronted him with that and he, you know, it was very apparent that this is as far as we can go. And then I was in Israel just 2 weeks ago and we decided that, you know, our friendship is very, very dear to both of us. But it's going mm-hmm. to transform like the type of relationship. So
very good. Very, very good. So it sounds like you're afraid to show vulnerability that people aren't going to like it. It sounds a little bit like that in general. Does that make any sense to you?
Mm.
So does it?
Yeah, for sure.
So like, let's find out where you learned that. So what was your parents like? What were your parents like?
What were my parents like?
Are they still around? Are they married?
Yeah, they're still around. Touch wood. They're still married. They're the most generous and beautiful people I know.
Mm-hmm. Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a younger sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's 4 years younger than me.
Uh-huh.
Where did that come from? I think it's very, very much ingrained in our culture never to show weakness, you know, like being vulnerable is weak. And
so you think it's an Israeli thing? I am ignorant when it comes to, I mean, I've certainly met plenty of people from Israel, you know, but I am pretty ignorant. I'm just going to put it out there about what, you know, every culture is different, and that's a particular culture. So do you think that the way that you relationships in I mean, is it different in Israel? Is that what you're saying? Or like, I'm trying to understand.
I don't know if it's different in Israel. I can talk about my circumstances. I mean,
sure.
My father's parents, my grandparents were Holocaust survivors. So, of course, there's such a hardship in that.
And
he was brought up in a very German post Second World War, post-Holocaust environment. So very
in Israel.
In Israel.
So that's going to be really intense.
That was really intense. And let's not forget that when he was born, that was when the state of Israel was born. And so, you know, being in all the, just like being born together with a country that's constantly fighting for its existence. So,
wow. That's real life, people.
Yeah. And I think my mother, her father was my grandfather, who I've never met, but he was in the army as his job, and his job was actually in charge of peacemaking in Ramallah, in the West Bank, between Palestinians and Israelis.
Wow.
And he died in something that we still don't know if it was a terrorist attack or not, but he was pushed off a cliff in his car. So he died. I never met him, but I think I was born to, you know, that hardship from both sides, and also to, you know, a very, very, you know, a country that we have to be tough, we have to protect ourselves, we have to, you know, and yeah, I mean, I don't know any, I don't know, other people in Israel can have a completely different experience.
Yeah, of course, but do you think, I mean, we're pretty coddled here in America. I mean, we take this. Do you see us Americans as taking that for granted? Is it very different? Is that what we're, I mean, what you're describing, those experiences to most Americans are just incomprehensible. It's true, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't understand the circumstances of living in a country like Israel, which, you know, is, probably makes people think about things that are really what's important in life. I mean, there's something really...
I think this is where there's kind of like a mindfuck for human beings, because we create that no matter where we are. I mean, here, it's so much about, you know, self-accomplishment. So the stress comes from that, you know. You know, self-realization, being something, making money, being accomplished. So I think it's just something so inherent in the human, you know, in the human psyche to achieve, to be strong, to the strong survive, you know, that kind of thing. So the circumstances, yes, maybe there are harder or easier circumstances, but I think that ambition or that tendency to create, you know, that you know, to move forward, to, you know, to be stronger is something that is so, so ingrained.
So you're kind of saying you're just saying it's no better, no worse. It's just human nature.
I'm saying that for your experience. Yeah, I think it's a blend. I mean, I don't know if I had to say how many percentage of blend, but I think it's, of course, your human circumstances, but it's the big part of it is just us being humans and just constantly striving to be stronger and better. And
sure. Well, anyway, it sounds like you're, you know, I can imagine being self-protective in that kind of environment. But was that played out in your family for you? Like, were your parents like acting like you got to be tough, you got to be strong?
Yeah, 100%. I think they really soften up in the last few years since my nephews were born, so since they became grandparents. I think that kind of like...
But how were they with each other? Did you not see a lot of tenderness or...
Wow, that's a really good question. I think there's like very, very deep friendship between them. I think they're incredibly different, and, you know, like my mom is like... My dad drives my mom crazy about everything he does drives her crazy. But I think there's really deep friendship. I've never really seen like intimate love, romantic intimate love between them. I don't know what happens behind closed doors. Yeah. I'm not sure I want to, but
you don't. Sure. They're your parents. Yeah. Who wants to know that shit? But like, as far as treating you, did like if you were upset, if you got physically hurt, if you failed a test, if a boy didn't like you, how did they treat you?
Yeah, I think there's. I mean, again, this is something that really evolved with time, and I think they're so much better now. But as I was growing
we're
up,
not judging them. We're not. There we are. Not judging them. They did an awesome job. Look what they made. They made you. They're fucking incredible. We're not judging your parents at all. I'm just trying to find out. Like, were they nurturing? How nurturing? Yeah. What was their degree of nurturingness and self acceptance and self? You know, you're ambitious. We know that. And so am I. You might not realize it, but you know, I mean, there's something wrong. Being ambitious is no judgment. That's who you are by nature. You're probably a little tightly wound. You know, some of this is nature, nature and nurture, but well, I'm just trying to figure out the circumstances. Yeah. So I think, were your parents nurturing or?
Yeah, in their own way. But yeah, that was like the environment. My dad was always, you know, you have to, no, there's a problem, just solve it. There's no place for emotions. You know, you decide something, you put everything else behind and you go forward as if it never existed. And with my mom, she always used to say this beautiful sentence, but I think I took it way too literally, which is, you know, she said, smile and the world will smile to you. And she said, always smile. Never let anyone see you anything but smile.
Man, that's so wrong. So wrong.
I think she had...
Sorry. I mean, no, that's me. Like, you can see what a shitty... why I'm not a real shrink because I'm... talk about judgment, but...
But I think she had the best of intentions. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, we're not criticizing. We're not criticizing at all. I'm just saying, and you know what? It served you well because look how accomplished you are, but... it's like telling boys not to cry. So you know what, I want to do the station ID and I want to get back to this. Let's digest this for a minute, because that to me is a symbol, you know. That's big. Okay, so let's get back to the Northside Festival now. Again, how do you go from that to the Northside Festival? Well, you know, I'm just really proud of us, and I want you to come to our show at the Well. That's tonight. But I also, you know, we got this other great show. As long as I'm telling you that you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn, Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, and it's the greatest radio station in the world. So come to Pine Box for Diva Night, which is going to be hilarious and fabulous, and it's just a bunch of the it's people. What is it? Oh, Jesus. It's by Evan Bieber of Pop Rocks and his co-host Edward. It's one of our shows here. It's going to be great. And it's a fun night of dancing and singing to some of the biggest names of pop music. And it's a great way to start off Pride Month. This is fucking Pride Month. And I love you, all my gay friends, gay, lesbian, queer, whatever you are. I love you. Thank God, because otherwise all we'd have is straight white men. Terrible. I'm horrible. So come Monday, June 11th, 9 to 11, Diva Night, Pine Box. Okay, we did that. I'm horrible. So anyway, no, I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. So let's get back.
Voices,
back to you. Back to you. Back to you.
So
back to Renan. So anyway, so it sounds like you were taught not to show a lot of emotion. Is that correct?
Yeah, a weakness. Maybe not emotion.
Weakness. And you were rewarded handsomely for it by society, no?
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
So here's the thing. You're very incredibly candid and generous about talking about this and not, and I don't want to brave or whatever. I don't know if it's brave. You're certainly not hiding it here on the radio. So you have the ability to express your weakness, and we don't even need to use the word weakness, but you know, your vulnerability. So what is your lack of expressing it with men, Is that because you think they're not going to like you, or they're going to take advantage of you, or is it a habit? What do you think it is?
Yeah. So first of all, this me being so candid about my weaknesses is something very new to me. It's something that I'm really just discovering now, and maybe just really sick of, as you said, just not showing a full 3D, you know, three-dimensional myself, just this, you know, pitch perfect poster. So this is definitely something that I am experimenting with and exercising these muscles. And why do I think I don't do it? And what is that relationship to men? I think it's a lot about, you know, programming that we've had. And I think that, you know, you always see these movies where there's these whiny women, and and men are like, fuck, no, just stop whining. You know, why are you so emotional? And, you know, and so we've been so taught that in order to be, you know, desired by men, we have to be cool, we have to play it cool, we have no emotions, we can just fuck around and we don't get attached. And the word attached, oh my God, and the word commitment, oh my God, do not ever say that, because, you know, you're this, you know, 21st century feminist. You're supposed to be able to just, you know, just go to bed one night with someone, wake up fabulous the next morning, go to your work, make a lot of money, and, you know, maintain all your life as if, you know, as if you don't have feelings. And so I think, yeah, it's a lot of what we think men want, or what we've been conditioned to think men want.
Agreed.
And that's why I think I owe so much to that man in Israel for just opening up a new avenue for me, you know. And
agreed. And I think that's an excellent point, because I used to be the advice columnist for the Bushwick Daily, whatever. I'm a you know, middle-aged older woman living in Bushwick. And I speak to a lot of the young women around here, and they are saying kind of what you just said, in that they're like, yeah, you know, like they act like they just sleep with the guy and they don't hear from him again, and that no big deal. But I think it really does cost maybe all of us, but certainly women. I don't think it's, we and women today feel the need. I mean, I thought this would be over by the time I got to be 62, but women still feel that need, that they can't expect anything or they don't want anything. And there's no guarantee that you're going to get it or not, but to pretend that you're past that to yourself, like say I'm going to sleep with this guy, I might get attached, but I'm going to do it anyway. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But to say I don't care and I believe it and tell yourself that, that's destructive. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's great that you brought that up.
And I want to say something else about, you know, an additional thing about sex, because, you know, we're so in this culture, there's so much variety and there's so much option and so many options and so many things. And like, there's always the next, and we've kind of, you know, the hyper consumption of clothes have kind of translated themselves to hype fast fashion for sex, you know. And I think, you know, being open to experience different things is beautiful and one thing, but the disposableness of it sometimes is something that is really heartbreaking for me, because, you know, it doesn't matter if it's for one night, 1 hour, 1 year, or one lifetime, it's still, you know, some kind of sacred unity between two people. And I feel that is something that's very dismissed in today's society, and that disposableness and next.
I'm really glad you said that, and I think we're all paying the price for that. I mean, all of us, I think. Sometimes I think women more than men, because women just biologically, this is, you know, are set up to, like, that, you know, we have to just set up to be more emotionally involved if we have sex with somebody, because, you know, biology has it. I believe in biology, yeah, has it 100%. That way. We're more vulnerable to that.
First of all, they you know, it's internal for us. Mm-hmm. For them, it's something external. You know, it's something that goes into us and becomes us.
Right, absolutely, and we can get pregnant and stuff like that. It's just really it's different,
you know. And even if you think of the role of the sperm or the role of the egg, you know, the sperm's role is to spread, is to go as fast as possible to its destination and beat the other guys so he can penetrate first,
right?
And the egg's is to be very, very, you know,
passive and perfect.
But not passive in the way that we think of passive. She actually chooses. She, out of a million different sperms, she chooses which one goes in. She's the one that has to be so quiet and intuitive and receptive to be able to choose the one that will, that she's willing to let inside her.
Well, I don't know. That for me, just if I'm for me, that's a little. I mean, it's a good way to look at it, but I don't know. I think my eggs are really like, they're really dead. That's what they are. You know, last time I went to a gynecologist, I said, I forgot which, I had an ovary removed, no big deal, I'm fine. But I was like, which one? She goes, well, I don't know, because they shrivel. They're shriveled. Like, I think they're shriveled. But you know, I want to ask you about your date, your last date on Friday with a guy, because I also wonder if you, you know, let guys know that you like him. So how did you feel like with any, did you practice any emotional connection with that date? Or like, what was that? How'd you do on that?
I think I didn't do very well.
What was it like? How did you do, or how do you feel about that?
I think I didn't do very well. I think there was a turning point in the date where he asked the one question that when I get asked that question, I just go nuts. And you know what that question is because you read that article that I wrote about being single. But he asked me, how come you're single? Like, I don't understand it. You're so this and so that and so that and so that. I have a very hard time saying good things about myself, but like all those things that you said.
Yeah, right.
So how come you're single? And for me, that is just like that one thing that completely shuts me down. And
interesting. Why does that affect you so much?
Because for me, it implies that something is inherently wrong with me. Like it can't be that you're, you know, accomplished, whatever, and also single. And for me, it's just like that. Whoa, what is wrong
with you? So you hear that as a criticism. I hear that as a compliment.
Oh, interesting.
I hear that as a compliment because it's like, it seems, you know, I mean, it's a way of saying that like you are a very valuable and desirable woman and you must have some choice. You have a ton of choices and you're choosing, like it's a shy way, perhaps, of telling you how fabulous you are without just coming out like, you're so great. But it's interesting. It has like a real, because I don't think everybody interprets those questions the same way. It has a real negative.
For me, does
that mean that you're afraid that there is something wrong with you or or some reason why you're single? Like some
dark.
Why can I ask you, why do you think you are single? Because I can't. I think, well, actually, I may, maybe the vulnerability thing, but why do you think you are single? Or why does that bother you? Or like, what's going on there?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a few different things. I think it's, first of all, that dichotomy between, being on one hand very independent and very
self-sufficient,
and on the other hand, something that is very undeveloped, which is my emotional, maybe progression, or I don't know, maybe not as developed as the other side of me. And then I think it's also, being very, very scared to open up and super scared of rejection. That's like
rejection.
That's my biggest fear.
Because you don't take failure well at all. Right? Because you're very accomplished and successful, and you seem to like succeed almost everything you do. I mean,
I don't know about that.
But success is definitely like part of your brand. I mean, it's just by because you've accomplished so much. So is that part of it? Like,
yeah, I think so. But I think there's also another part. I think that I'm not a regular, like I'm not, nobody's regular, but I think that there's like, all my girlfriends that really want to get married and have kids. And like I never had that deep, deep craving that women, you know, have. And I think that I think something about me is a bit not normal. Like it's not, I don't know how to explain it, but it doesn't mean that I don't want it. It means that I have a different pace of developing in that realm. It means that whoever this man will be will probably not have, you know, the typical relationship. It will be something that we will create together. It will be something that that we will mold into a shape together.
So your idea is that most of your friends have kids. How do you feel about having kids? Like, what's that mean to you?
What does that mean to me?
Do you think your family expects you to have children?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
So there's really, like, that's normal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And is that considered, like, if you don't have children, then you're not a really accomplished person, do you think?
Yeah.
Woman?
Yeah.
Oh.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I think my grandmother once told me that a woman without kids is like a tree that can't bear fruits. Like that just, it doesn't, yeah.
Oh, so you've internalized that.
So I mean, how many kids can I have already? I'm reaching that point. But I would want a family, yeah. But if I'm like I don't have the same drive as most of my girlfriends. Like, yeah.
Well, sounds like you have ambivalence about having children, which personally I applaud. I mean, I've said on the show before, I mean, I have a stepson who's 29, just got married to a lovely, lovely, awesome, three-dimensional, big mouth, funny, hilarious, awesome female. And I love the freedom of being like, I can do whatever I want and all my art projects. And I love the freedom of having my own time.
Yeah.
And I haven't had to, I've been very selfish about it because I haven't, you know, had kids.
Yeah.
And so I'm just applauding that. And I think, I'm just saying from my experience, I think that society telling women they have kids, like that's kind of a something I personally disagree with.
Yeah. I think that it will happen organically. Like it would be part of that creation of me and whoever that human is, you know, to decide that and to see what is the family structure that is right for us.
But do you feel like that maybe is affecting, I mean, you're 39, so, you know, that's, I mean, let's just, you know, we know what that means. So as far as parenting, motherhood, all that stuff. So do you think that that is somehow seeping into your dating life, your views of motherhood? And like your views of being single and your self-image, I think maybe your view of yourself, like it's really hard for you to see yourself not being a mother. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that to depart from that, that picture, yeah, that would be something that if I came to that moment would be hard for me for sure.
But is it hard because, and I don't know if you have the answer to this, but is it hard because of you wanting to have kids? Or is it hard because you feel like you'll be letting your family down?
I think it's both. I mean, I have a lot of questions if I'm built to be a mother, if I'm, you know, if I have it in me to be a mother. I mean, I look at my sister and, oh my God, she does such an amazing job. I don't know if I have it in me. But there is some part of me that really wants a family, and there's a huge part of me that knows it's going to be a huge disappointment to my family if I don't. Yeah, it's all part of it. I mean, I can be, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I can stand, you know, go on my own path, as weird as it is, as non-conventional as it is, but I'm still influenced by, you know.
Of course. Yeah. And your family's been through so much, and you want to support them and be an active part of your family.
I think my dad once said something to me that really kind of, that was, he said, Rinat, you know, so many people are having kids, they're duplicating their genes, you know, genes like yours, they're really, you know, they need to be duplicate, you know, they need to have future. So that responsibility.
Yeah. They're putting a lot on you. Do they talk about it with you in day to day? Like, do you feel pressure from them, like on a regular basis? You know, just is it out there in the atmosphere in your relationship with them?
I think it used to be a lot more. Mm-hmm. And I think me moving to New York has made a huge step, for my sanity with that. But I think they're also a lot more conscious than they were before of how much it hurts me when they do that.
So they
really try, to moderate that. it slips out from time to time because, Jewish moms, you know.
Well, they're not going to change how they feel, but these are really big decisions that you need to be in touch with on your own, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So if they're influencing it, it's going to be really hard for you to separate out how you feel.
Yeah, I think also I have a OBGYN in Israel, and she said something so beautiful to me. She was like, Rinat, this was about a year ago or half a year ago. She was like, Rinat, there comes a moment in every woman's life, let's say on her 40th birthday, where she needs to sit on a rock by the sea and really go inside and think with herself if that's what she wants for her life. And it's okay, it's completely okay if you decide that it's not what you want, and it's completely okay if you decide that that's what you want, but just know you have a year and a half left or something. Just
have
fun.
Beautiful.
And on your 40th birthday, go to that rock by the sea.
That gave me the chills. It's beautiful. That is really, I think that it's really important that you make the decision that's right for you. But you know what I really wanted to point out to you? The work that you do, and full disclosure, I'm afraid I'm going to say your name wrong.
Scherzer?
Anyway, Rinat did a project with came in and consulted, so I had with Radio Free Brooklyn with our team. So I did actually see you at work. Full disclosure. So I'm just saying, like, from everything, the research I've done on you and seeing you in person, having experience with you, I'm just going to say that you are extremely nurturing, and that I think that you're missing a big point about your whole life, which is based on nurturing, and a career based on nurturing, and that, you know, maybe everyone that you come across is somewhat of a child, or, you know, not a child in this, you know, child adult thing, but maybe somebody that you are nurturing, and that can be as valuable as to the world as having a child.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I mean, I look at the projects that we're doing, of course, and the way that we help, you know, underserved communities or environmental issues that we're really passionate about, or, you know, just even exposing, you know, super corporate America employees to what it means to have empathy and what it means to have kindness to one another and compassion, and I think that's a huge gift. You know, every time I see that change within one of our clients or within a person in a corporation, I'm fulfilled with a lot of satisfaction and with a lot of definitely a child. Yeah.
You're the like the doula, the mom doula. You're doing a lot of work, help our radio station give birth to a new way that we were going to have our our community meetings in like an hour. So, I mean, these are really, I think maybe you're selling yourself a little short on your, that maybe you are already expressing a lot of motherhood, just not in the exact way that your family is going to.
Yeah, 100%. No, I agree with that 100%. And I always think of, you know, the businesses that I create as my babies, like they're truly my babies.
I know what you mean, though. And I mean, I think it's good. I think it's like a good instinct that you came to New York to define who you are away from all of that, too.
100%. I think Israel is so traditional in the way, in the family constructions, that there are other family constellations. And it's just, yeah, if you're not in that path, you're just, it's just, there's no room. And then, you know, I came to New York and it's so amazing because everybody's a weirdo like me.
Exactly.
It's like this place where all the weirdos come together that never belonged anywhere else. But here they belong because they don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I also wonder if that's part of what's making it harder. I think that you have like kind of the answer of like how to get closer to somebody, to the people, to the men, you know, in intimate relationships. I think it, you can see it. But I think also the confusion about what you're really looking for.
Gets in the way.
Yeah. Like, because we all know the first date, if it's going to really work out, means that you're going to have a boyfriend. And if you're going to have a boyfriend and you're 39, I was 39 once, that means that you have to know whether you want to have a family or not. And all this stuff is all wound up together. And because your family and your father in particular, I'm going to say the male dominant role model, thinks having a family is really important, you may be sort of afraid of projecting that onto the guy you're dating on the date.
Oof. Yeah, for sure. For sure. That has a huge, you know, like not having a boyfriend is something that makes my life easier because I don't have to come up with these, you know, decisions.
Oh, yeah.
So for sure that's, oh, if I like a guy, then what does it mean? Are we going to be together now forever and ever? And what does that mean? Do I need to have kids? And what does that mean? Yeah, I'm sure that's going to put a lot of pressure. But having all said all that, I think that I have come to a point right now after many years of exploration that I am, ready to take that step and explore those questions and explore, you know, and explore through creation with that other person of what it means to have a relationship. What is it going to look like? Do we want a family? What does a family look like? There's so many different ways to have a family.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. I think you do have all, I do think you know what, where the direction is coming. I'm looking at the clock because we only have a minute and a half left and we have a lot more to discuss. But so I'm just going to try and wrap this up. Can you believe this? But I think that the thing is that I think that when you're dating somebody, you know, I mean, at that age, it is common where people are thinking, are we going to have kids? Are we going to have, I think that you need, this is what I'm going to say, I have no formal training. I think you really need to own the confusion about whether you want to have a family or not and just like hold on to that, own it, internalize it. I'm just so confused because you can't not be confused because you can't separate what your family wants and what you want. Yeah. So take that completely, own the confusion and take it out of the equation on any date. With any guy, like you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if you're going to create something with that person or not. Just right now, you can only, you know, like in advertising, they say, sell one thing. The one thing that you are working on is how can you get closer to somebody emotionally? And I think the only way you're going to be able to do that is if you take that variable of whether you're ever going to have kids out or not out of the equation.
I love that.
Take that out.